little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
This is an extended shared option discussion with Monica about alcohol consumption and ways to reduce alcohol intake.
Thanks for coming back in to talk to me today. We're going to talk a little bit about alcohol with your permission.
Yes.
It's been a part of your life.
Yeah.
And a part of your husband's life too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's quite helpful, before we go any further, just to tell, perhaps talk about how it came to my attention that this could be a health concern. Was it you that highlighted it, or was it me that...
I think initially, yeah. I came in not feeling well, probably due to the high blood pressure.
Yeah.
And during the conversation, you mentioned, one of your questions was about how much alcohol do you drink?
Yeah.
And obviously it came to light that obviously we do drink too much.
Can I just take you back to that day? Because I know things have changed substantially, but if I take you back to that day, and maybe if you could just tell me a little bit more about the drinking that you do, because I know that culturally in the UK it's quite normal to drink quite a bit, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before our first visit, we wouldn't think anything about having a bottle of wine every night,
mm-hmm.
each.
Mm.
Maybe a couple of lagers as well.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we have cut down through the week. Obviously, we're not drinking a bottle of wine and lager every night. Maybe instead of 7 nights a week, we'd maybe 4 to 5 nights a week.
Okay.
So we have cut down quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I do feel better for it. But we need to still keep cutting down more than that, I know that.
So the symptoms that you were suffering with at the time, where you were aware of your heart beating?
Sometimes, when you were lying asleep, like trying to sleep, you could hear the heart beat in your head.
Okay, got you.
Yeah. No, I just thought, this is not something not quite right. So I thought I'd go and see the doctor and...
Yeah.
I'm still here, so...
Yeah. Which is a good sign, isn't it? Okay. And had there been anything else that had drawn this to your attention?
No, not particularly. I can't think of anything specific.
Had you made any links about your health and your alcohol consumption prior to us addressing this at all?
Well, I think my heart and heart... We know before our chat.
Yeah.
That we were drinking too much.
Okay.
To be honest.
So health concerns were, you were aware of your heart beating and thinking, well, this can't be good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else more in your mind in terms of what you thought it might be doing to you?
I don't know how to answer that.
I mean, we've had discussions since then, and maybe we could just bring it to the present day, and maybe we could talk generally between the two of us about what effects we now know that alcohol was having on your health.
Well, it just makes you feel, I don't know, it doesn't help. Most of the reasons for the drinking alcohol in the night. Not every reason, but if you've had a really bad day at work,
I
think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help, really.
No.
It just makes you feel groggy the next day.
It's quite a common thing, isn't it? And I think there's a tendency for a lot of us that after a long, hard day, you get back and you think, well, I need to unwind, I need to relax.
Fair enough, but not like as much as we were having.
Are there any other ways that you've found since then that seem to be more effective for dealing with that kind of post-work, end-of-day feeling?
I haven't found anything that really works, but generally, alcohol doesn't really help.
Okay.
It just makes you feel groggy the next day.
So we know the alcohol doesn't work, because we know alcohol is a depressant as well, isn't it?
And it doesn't do your liver any good either.
No, okay. What about your sleep patterns?
Yeah, you go to sleep straight away.
Mm.
Once you wake up, you wake up quite a few times through the night.
Because it affects your sleep quality.
Yeah.
So it does cause problems with, with the sleep pattern that you have.
It does.
Unhealthy sleep. And then, as you say, when you wake up the following morning, you don't feel better for
That's right.
Because it is a depressant.
Okay. Yeah.
And it can make anxiety symptoms worse as well. Okay. I've got a helpful prompt here in front of us, which is to guide us through what potentially you may or may not have noticed. It's called a simple structured advice. It's an SBI leaflet, a screening and brief intervention leaflet, which is very good for helping doctors prompt patients to understand the effects that alcohol might be having on their health. And I quite often use it to help people link together health concerns that they have with their drinking patterns, and to highlight to them that it might well be that we need to tackle together the drinking patterns that they have in order to address the health concerns that they have. So just going to go through some of these issues as well. So, but before we go any further, just to put things into context of what people drink in the UK. So a bottle of wine is 9 units usually, and a single measure of spirits is 1 unit, but there's 28 units in a bottle of spirits. I guess that most people, when they're serving themselves at home, probably take a little bit more than a unit, don't they? A kind of small glass of wine, and a small glass of wine in the UK nowadays is 175, it used to be 125. So 175 mils of wine is normally about 2 units. Okay, but there's a lot bigger glasses of wine these days, so we have to watch out for those. Pint of beer is usually between 2 and 3, depending on the percentage or the strength of it. And maybe an alcohol pop could be 1.5 or potentially 2 units as well. So just to put into context about how much you could be drinking in a week without necessarily being fully aware of it. Now, I would encourage people to drink healthily. We've now... The government simplified this and said that we really ought to be aiming for 14 units or less than that in a week to be healthy. And we really ought to be not having binges. And a binge for a bloke is going to be 4 units or more in a sitting. And for a lady, it'll be 3 units or more. So just to be aware of that.
Yeah.
And we really ought to be ensuring that we try and have dry days every week.
Yes.
The more the better, but probably at least three dry days a week if we can. That sort of target's going to change according to the pattern of drinking that some people have.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about what's hazardous drinking, we're going to talk about what's harmful drinking, we're going to talk about the symptoms that might highlight to you that that your drinking pattern could be an issue and the sort of things that go along with them. So we talked about the fact that alcohol often helps people to get off to sleep, but it causes their sleep to be very poor quality. So they often suffer with a problem called insomnia, or the sleep pattern is a little bit difficult. It can increase their chances that mood problems would be there. So that's including anxiety and low mood. So they're often tied in with drinking patterns. And I often find that if somebody is presenting with low mood and they're drinking too much, I can't treat them effectively unless we help them address the alcohol side of things. So we're not talking about you in this circumstance at all. Impotence, your love life can be affected by your alcohol intake, and certainly erectile dysfunction is a major issue for some gentlemen as well. So that's something that can be highlighted to some blokes as being an important thing that they want to do something about, and a good reason for going alcohol-free on certain days.
Yeah.
Your issue was blood pressure, and that's why I asked you about whether alcohol could be a part of your life. And addressing that seems to have been very key to bringing your blood pressure down. I know you're on tablets, but I think possibly the lifestyle changes for you have been more important.
Yeah.
And people tend to act differently when they're drinking, so it causes all sorts of problems with relationship difficulties. Domestic violence is enormously associated with alcohol intake, so that's something that GPs are always asking their patients about, whether they feel safe in their home environment if a partner is drinking, or if they're drinking themselves. It does affect their interactions with other people, and they're much more prone to having difficulty with that. And of course it can interact with the medication that they're taking and make that less safe as well.
Right.
So hazardous drinking would constitute for a man drinking 50 units or less. So between, I would say, 14 units per week up to 50 units per week is hazardous drinking, whereas for a woman we would think about anything between 15 and 35 units is going to be constituting hazardous drinking.
Right.
So that could be related with all that group of health concerns. Harmful drinking, well, where we know that this is actually causing definite harm, I'm not saying that the hazardous drinking doesn't cause harm, because it does, but harmful drinking is much more likely. So if you're drinking more than 50 units for a bloke or more than 36 units for a woman, these are definitely going to have consequences. And some of those definite consequences, well, you mentioned before about what it does to your liver. The more you drink, the more energy you're putting on board, and that makes you overweight often, and that has knock-on problems with your blood pressure. But it also affects your liver, and your liver is dealing with the poison that is alcohol, and can often get fatty, making you prone to diabetes, but also can become scarred and damaged and stop doing its job, and that makes you prone to alcoholic cirrhosis and all the knock-on consequences with your health that go along with that. Alcohol is very directly linked with risk of cancer. So if you've got cancer in your family, alcohol would be the first thing that I would be encouraging people to address as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, some people that are drinking in a harmful pattern will find that if they were to stop drinking all of a sudden without the support of the doctor, that they're going to have fits potentially, and those can be very dangerous, and can have hallucinations as well. So if you've ever had what's called the DTs, where you're seeing little furry animals in the corner of the room, that sort of thing, or you felt particularly jumpy after you've been on a binge and then come off the drinking for a couple of days or so, those sort of sensations would guide your doctor to saying, well, you really shouldn't be stopping drinking altogether too quickly without the doctor's support, and you may need support to do so. So that's just a little bit of the context about the potential harm that alcohol can do, and to give you a rough idea of how much alcohol is too much alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in an ideal world, we ought to be aiming, if we can, for less than 14 units per week, and in a safe fashion, if we can. Have you got any comments at that stage related about how it links in with you?
I'm not seeing furry animals, put it that way. I'm not that bad. Yeah, I know what I need to do, really. So. Yeah.
But I talked a little bit earlier on about what is the context of our society, because we drink. We're a society of drinkers. There's no question about that. And we do find that in the UK population at the moment, we've got some statistics in front of us here on the second page of the SBI Simple Structured Advice leaflet, and it tells us that the majority of UK drinkers are sensible drinkers, but we do have a minority, and quite a significant minority, of both hazardous and harmful drinkers. So in the male population, 20% of males drink in a hazardous fashion, and more than 5 or 6% of males drink in a harmful fashion, and that's in those massive quantities of 50 units or more, which is harmful for men. And for females, it's about 12% of ladies will drink in a hazardous fashion, which is more than that 14 units per week, and about 4%, 3 or 4% of women will drink in that harmful way, which is more than 35 units per week. So that's the context, but also it's helpful to talk a little bit about why would you cut back? What is the point of cutting back? Are there things that you can do that would influence your risk of problems? So we've talked a bit about the consequences of drinking.
Yeah.
It's helpful maybe to talk a little bit about why would you cut back, and what would be the benefit of cutting back. For the sake of doctors listening to this audio, it's helpful to make a connection with something that bothers the patient. So if your patient is coming about blood pressure, it's important to highlight the potential gains that they've got from reducing their intake.
Mm-hmm.
So in your case, if we reduce your intake of alcohol and we help you with your weight, those will have knock-on consequences with your blood pressure. So
definitely.
So weight and alcohol intake help you with your blood pressure, and that's important. But there's other things that can connect with other people. We mentioned already quality of sleep, and we also mentioned feeling better about yourself. So those are important. There's a significant risk of injury. So if people keep on going to casualty and having injuries, I would always ask, I would be chasing them down and saying, is there anything else going on?
Yeah.
Is there a drinking problem? And a lot of people come to us as doctors and say, oh, I'm worried I might be prone to getting cancer because it's in my family, or I've got this symptom, I wonder if it could be cancer. And I think we should be, as doctors, making that link to say, okay, well, you're worried about cancer. Can I just check whereabouts are you with regard to your drinking? Is this something that we should be helping you with regard to that? We've mentioned liver disease, injury to the brain. So the brain is very sensitive to poisons, and alcohol is the typical one that we put into ourselves all the time. So if you're drinking for a long period of time and not looking after your diet and not looking after your general health, you can be prone to vitamin deficiencies, and we quite often give our very heavy drinkers a vitamin called thiamine, which protects their brains. But ultimately, what would protect their brains even better would be to minimise their alcohol consumption. Right. So that's an important thing to be looking at. Sleep is, I see an awful lot of patients who have difficulty with their sleep. And one of the things that I'll always ask is about their alcohol consumption. And when they're drinking, they're often snoring. Some of those patients who, particularly the ones that are a little bit overweight, will find that they stop breathing at night. So they have a problem that's called sleep apnea syndrome. And when they have that problem, they'll be waking up in the night. Maybe they're not aware that that's happening, and they'll often drift off to sleep in the day at funny times. Mm-hmm. So when that sort of thing's happening, we should be looking for sleep apnea.
Yes.
Their energy levels are going to be poor because they're drinking. And we've already mentioned how people feel about themselves, which is so important, isn't it?
It is.
So losing weight and getting into better physical shape can make an enormous difference. Hangovers, clearly, that's another issue as well. But we've also touched a little bit on mood and anxiety. Those are things that can help. But the relationships with other family members is quite important as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Drink driving, well, people can lose their livelihoods as a consequence of being caught for drink driving, not to mention the potential risk of harming other people or other road users. We're going to refocus a little bit, and we're going to bring things back a little bit to you and the way that you manage the way that you drink. And when we talked about it with yourself and with also your husband, we've talked a little bit about what's important to you and why you want to change.
Yeah.
So it's important that there's a motivation behind that.
Definitely.
But there's got to be a means and a realistic way of making changes to the way that you live your life. So we're going to talk about how you make your own plan for cutting back your alcohol consumption, and that's got to be a really realistic thing. So I'm going to ask you to have a wee look at this list here. Mm-hmm. So this is a list within, again, the simple structured advice leaflet, the SBI leaflet that we talked about before. And it has a list of options, things that might help people to make a plan for themselves to make a change for the better with regard to their level of alcohol consumption. Perhaps we could go through that together.
Yep.
Are there any things on that particular list that sound appealing to you, that sound doable to you when it comes to helping you change what you do at the moment?
Right. Well, I wouldn't drink without having something to eat. An empty stomach, it's not the best idea in the world.
Okay.
If I feel thirsty, I don't drink alcohol or hot water.
So these are changes that you've already made.
This is what I'm already doing,
Okay, so I just want to highlight that for everyone else who's listening. So the first thing there was related to you never now drink on an empty stomach.
I didn't particularly before.
Yeah.
Because I know it's not good.
Yeah.
Or if I was really thirsty, I wouldn't refresh with an alcoholic drink. I don't think I would have done that before.
Okay.
However, drinking in rounds of large groups, we do quite on a quite regular basis with our friends.
Okay. Is that something that could change?
We could reduce the amount of times we go out and do that, because when we all meet up, it's in rounds, and it's normally quite a few of us.
Is there the potential, is this something that other people are conscious of, their drinking habits, in your social group?
I'm not sure whether they're conscious of it. It's what happens.
Has there been any discussion at all? Has anybody taken an interest in what you and your husband are doing at the moment with regard to your alcohol consumption?
I don't think anyone's particularly aware of it, to be honest.
No.
I haven't really said anything, but that's one thing we can reduce.
Yeah. Would you ever have a discussion with your group or anybody within your group about these things and think about things that could change a little bit? Because I think that...
Not to date, we haven't, but there's no reason why we can't.
Because it might be worthwhile thinking about the way that you buy drinks or rounds for people and seeing if there's a way that that might put less pressure on people to drink as much. I know myself that you want to get value if you're buying a round.
Yeah, then,
and then you want to make sure everybody else gets you a round back, don't you? That's kind of nice, and it's a shame to miss out on.
Yeah.
But that does put pressure on everybody to then get the next round and the next round, and it's kind of an expectation that, you just stay for another one, come my round now.
That's right.
And I'm just wondering...
That's what happened.
Yeah. Is there any way of stopping that or restricting that or changing that?
Probably not stopping totally, but we can make it less frequent.
Yeah. It might be worthwhile just having that conversation amongst your peer group, your friends. Would you be comfortable, for example, sharing with them that you're working on your weight, and one of the things that you're working on as a consequence of working on your weight is your calorie intake?
Yeah.
And why not have that conversation with your social group and say, look, I'm concerned about my weight, I want to do something about it, and one of the things that my doctor suggested is this round thing.
Yeah.
Is there any way that we as a group could try and figure out how to minimise that social pressure to buy big rounds.
Because
that might be something worth working on. So you mentioned before, and I just want to highlight again, that you drink water when you're thirsty rather than the alcohol first.
Water, milk, tea, coffee, whatever, but not alcohol.
So sometimes the first round that you can have in the pub could be just a glass of water, couldn't it?
Could be.
Or one of the rounds that you have is just a water round.
Potentially.
Or if you're coming into the pub and you're all thirsty, so maybe that would be the sensible thing, would be just to have some tap water to get you going.
Yeah.
And then the round after that. Are there any other things that you like?
When stressed, have a workout. So if I had a bad day at work, instead of turning to the drink, have a workout. Could do that.
Because we talked about that as well, and we found that the strategy of having a drink after work doesn't work very well.
Taking the
dog out for a brisk walk might work, or going on the exercise bike at home might work a bit better than anything else, mightn't it?
Yeah. Or I'd go in the pub after work. That's become a bit of a habit recently, so we know when. Well, apart from...
Could you meet up at a cafe instead?
I'd rather just go home, to be honest.
Okay.
That's become quite a regular... So as well as health issues, you save money as well if we stop doing that. Yeah. So.
What about any other interests that you would like to pursue that you've not been pursuing, so that you could do with that? Instead of going to the pub, you could go and pursue a different interest.
Well, we did used to go to the gym, but it came a bit too expensive, so we stopped doing that.
Is there another way of doing that? Is there a cheaper way of going to the gym? Because there can be low-cost gyms, that could be a way of doing it, or an exercise bike at home or something like that.
Right.
That could be a substitute which could save you money as well, potentially.
Uh-huh. So I've got there's all those videos on YouTube, workouts and stuff, so I can have a look.
You're quite good at doing those sort of things.
I'm all right.
So as long as you've got a plan between you and your husband and potentially friends, have you got any other friends that might want to join in and do this sort of thing together with you?
No, not really.
Not really.
Not really.
Okay. I'm just going to highlight a couple of other things that are worthwhile just mentioning in here. Okay. So there's the low alcohol beers that are worthwhile thinking about. There's certainly look for the calorie content of those because that's important to you as well. Smaller sips, avoiding salty snacks when you're drinking alcohol because that can make you more thirsty.
Yeah.
Planning activities and other tasks when you would otherwise be thinking about drinking. So we talked about workouts, exploring other interests or hobbies that can really divert you away from pub time, can't it? And if you've got people who are entrenched in their drinking behaviour and they're dragging you in one direction, maybe spending less time with them would be worthwhile if that's important. But I think that it might be particularly worthwhile just addressing with your friends, just to say, look, I'm working on this, I'm wanting some help with it, and this kind of drinking and around thing is a bit of an issue. What can we do to try and do something about that? Maybe you could let me know about that afterwards and see how it's gone. So it's important that you set targets for yourself, and I can help you with that if that's useful for you at the moment. What do you think?
Oh, I know what to do, to be honest.
Yeah. What have you already decided?
Well, from when we get back after our holidays at the weekend, we're both, we've already had a chat about it, and we're going to start cutting down more on the alcohol. And, because we need to, basically.
What's a worthwhile target for you? What have you got something with you and your husband that you've decided to target?
Well, we like a drink on the weekend, so that will probably not be ruled out. But more through the week, especially when you got work the next day, it's not the best idea. So we need to.
You mentioned before that you've got two alcohol-free days now, which is a big,
the week.
Which is a definite positive move, isn't it?
Normally Monday, on a Wednesday.
What would be a realistic target for you? In terms of that numbers of alcohol-free days.
So maybe 3 to 4.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you agree.
That's what I'm working towards anyway.
Okay. Do you want to put that down as a contract? With yourself as much as anything.
So, don't have to sign anything.
Well, it's up to you.
But if
you were to tell me next time, I've not quite got there, but I'm moving in the right direction, I can accept that.
That's our plan.
Yeah. So 3 to 4 days per week alcohol-free.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be worthwhile.
Definitely.
And have we got a kind of limit to the total consumption in mind?
Depends on what sort of weekend we're having.
What would constitute a ridiculous binge?
6 halves of lager, maybe. Mm-hmm. And maybe a couple of glasses of wine, like big glasses of wine, or gin and tonics.
Okay.
But then sometimes we'll stop doing that because it's a really bad idea coming in and having some wine when we're getting.
Yeah.
But we'll stop doing that now.
You'll find as you're drinking a little bit less that actually the impact of a single glass will be more, and your drinking would be a little bit more enjoyable and a little bit more cost effective.
Yeah.
So it'd be worthwhile just trying to work on that total binge limit and trying to figure out what would be safer for you.
Yeah.
I've had patients die from drinking too much in a single binge. Yeah. It does have very dangerous effects to the heart, and obviously there's all those calories that go with it. Mm. So it's worthwhile just bearing that in mind. So the government asked me to try and limit a binge to 3 units for a lady, 4 units for a bloke. That's not going to be realistic at the moment, is it? But would it be realistic to put a cap on this and just say, let's be consciously not letting it go above 8 units?
That would be sensible.
Would it be doable?
When starting to try.
Okay. Yeah. Well, why don't you have a conflab with your husband?
It's not so much through the week, it's the weekend.
Yeah. Why don't you have a conflab about what's realistic for you?
Yeah.
And then maybe you could let me know within the next couple of weeks what you've decided. Yeah?
Right.
So we could talk on the phone about it and you can just say, well, this is the contract. Because if you make a contract with yourselves, it's going to be relatively powerful. It's going to be more powerful if you tell me.
Right, okay.
Because I'll ask you next time.
Yeah, okay.
Is that a deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's say for you 8 units limit, if that's doable. I mean, you tell me what's going to be doable, but that's a possible target,
well, 9 units in a bottle of wine, isn't there?
So yeah, that's right.
9.
But you're always going to finish the whole bottle yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, it's good. You've got to be honest with yourself, haven't you? So 9 units per binge deal.
Right.
That would be worthwhile, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
And you can limit yourself, can't you?
How are we going to leave it for today?
Well, get the weekend out of the way. Have a chat with the other half.
Yeah.
And wait for your email.
Yeah.
Take it from there, I suppose.
So I'll send you both of these audios for you to listen to.
Right. Okay.
And then you can get back to me in the next few weeks just to let me know what you think about things and what you've decided what your target's going to be and what your contract's going to say to yourself.
Contract.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions?
No, don't think so. I think it's all pretty much common sense, to be honest.
It is, but sometimes you need a nudge in the right direction.
You do.
Don't you? Yeah, fam.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that with me.
No problem. Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.